Masterworks of Music, originally scheduled for this time, will be heard tonight at 10 o'clock, just 15 minutes from now. Ladies and gentlemen, in the special broadcast to follow, the opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not in any way reflect the opinions of the management of this station or its staff. We take you now to Ann Arbor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Station WJR is happy to have in its Ann Arbor studios this evening Senator Burton K. Wheeler of Montana. Senator Wheeler is in Ann Arbor to address a mass peace meeting to be held tomorrow evening in Hill Auditorium at 8:30. Senator Wheeler is the recognized leader of the opposition to the administration's foreign policy. Mr. Wheeler is also chairman of the Senate Committee on Interstate Commerce. Senator Wheeler, a graduate of the University of Michigan, will be interviewed by student leaders Hervey Hoffler and William Meal. This program, ladies and gentlemen, is a public service feature. I'll now turn the microphone over to William Meal and Hervey Hoffler.
Senator Wheeler, we all know that you have been on an extended speaking tour. Just what has been the purpose of your trip?
The purpose of my trip has been to offset the propaganda that is being sent out by those who want to take this country to war.
How have your addresses been received?
I have spoken in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, Denver, Spokane, Salt Lake, Butte, Chicago, and Sioux City, also in St. Paul and Minneapolis, then to Boston, and then to Buffalo. Everywhere I've been, we've had overflow meetings and most enthusiastic meetings, indicating to me that not only 83% of the people of this country, as found by Mr. Gallup, but that over 90% of the people of this country are unalterably opposed to getting into this war.
Well, from your experiences in traveling over the country, you would describe public opinion as being against war. Is that true in equal degree all over the United States?
I think it's equally true from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Of course, I haven't been down in the southern states, but I think the southerners are just as much opposed to getting into this war as we northerners are. Certainly, when I was in the West and in the Middle West, someone would say, well, what about the Atlantic seaboard? Well, when I went to Boston, we had a crowd that filled the music hall, and the police said that there were 10,000 people outside. And I never spoke to a more enthusiastic audience in my life than I spoke to in the city of Boston.
You are frequently called an isolationist. To what degree is this an accurate description of your position?
Well, I'm an isolationist to the same extent that the President of the United States said he was an isolationist at Chautauqua before the election of 1936. At that time, President Roosevelt said he was an isolationist to the extent that he wanted to isolate this country against war.
Well, Senator Wheeler, when you say that you want to isolate the United States against war, what do you think the actual danger of a physical invasion of the United States is?
Well, I'm not an expert on military or naval affairs, and all I can say to you is that I have talked with experts of the Navy Department and the War Department in Washington, and I haven't been able to find any member of active in the naval forces in Washington. But what think it is impossible for an invasion of the United States by Germany, Italy, or Japan, or a combination of them? For instance, one naval officer said to me, do you know how many boats and ships it would take to bring 1 million men to the United States of America? And I said, I do not. He said, do you know how many soldiers that it would take in order to carry on a successful invasion of the United States? And I said, I do not. He said it would take at least 2 million men to have any kind of a successful invasion of the United States. And then he said, if you brought over at least 1 million men and then attempted to bring over the heavy tanks and the machinery which would be necessary to bring over in order for them to fight a modern war, and then keep their supply lines open, it would take more ships than there are in the world today. So, from that statement, You people who hear so much about this country being invaded by Germany, or hear it being invaded by Japan or some other country, must realize how perfectly ridiculous it is to talk of this country being invaded. And then again, hadn't it ought to be perfectly plain to you people that if Germany can't invade England 22 miles across the English Channel, that certainly that she can't invade the United States across 3,000 miles of the Atlantic Ocean. All of this talk about invading this country was put out and so as to scare and frighten the American people, to whip them up into a frenzy so that they would want to go to war. And I'm opposed to that, and I'm opposed to the propaganda that's being put out. And I'm opposed to the statements made by the president today that the American people are ready to fight. Of course we're ready to fight if we were attacked. But we're not ready to enter any foreign war.
I find that when you refute that argument, the interventionist admits that no, there probably won't be an actual invasion, but that America will be reduced to submission through economic invasion. How do you counter this attitude?
Well, to me, that is just as foolish as the proposition that we will be invaded by a military. As a matter of fact, we export probably not to exceed 7 or 8% of our products that we produce here in the United States. Now, there might be some talk of an invasion economically of South America, because South America produces the same kind of products that we produce here in the United States. They produce cotton, and they produce corn and wheat and cattle and copper and other raw materials. Our cotton farmers would not permit the cotton to come here. Our wheat farmers and our corn farmers wouldn't permit the corn or the wheat to come in competition, nor would our cattle people, because they can produce them so much cheaper down there than we can here in the United States of America, with cheap land and, in some cases, more fertile land and cheaper labor. And it would reduce our farmers in the United States to the low level standards of living of the farmers of South America. So naturally, they've got to sell their products in Europe. At the present time, according to Wallace Farmer, which ought to be an authority, they're selling corn in Argentina for 3 cents a bushel. And the reason for that is that the European markets, where they have been accustomed to sell their products, have been cut off.
Senator Wheeler, do you think that the United States could wage any sort of a successful war on the continent if it did intervene in the European war at the present time?
Well, I think the answer to that is simple. And I would rather put it in this form. When England had her troops on European soil and had the aid of France and Belgium and Holland, she was unable to keep them there, and they left at Dunkirk. They were driven out of Dunkirk. Then when she had her troops in Norway, they were driven out of Norway, and when she had her troops down in Greece, they were driven out of Greece. Now, if she couldn't keep the troops when she had them there with the aid of these her allies, how is it possible for her to again land troops on European soil? And how is it going to be possible for us to land troops on European soil? And how is it going to be possible for us to drive Hitler back to Berlin unless we can land troops on European soil? Now, I'm very sympathetic with England, and I would like to see a win, but I like to be realistic about it. And I don't like to do a lot of wistful thinking, and I don't want to see us go into this war when we're not prepared. England went into the war when she wasn't prepared. France went into the war, she wasn't prepared. So did these other countries. I want to see the United States prepare and prepare and prepare for her own defense and for the defense of the Americas. But it's perfectly ridiculous for people to think that we can go over to Europe when we have a fine navy, yes. But outside of a navy, we haven't anything to fight with. And I don't want to see our boys slaughtered upon foreign battlefields, unprepared to put up a first-class fight because of lack of materials.
President Roosevelt says that America has been forced step by step to our present dangerous situation. Do you think this is true?
Well, the person that's forced us more than anybody else has been the president himself. And backed up, of course, by a lot of people who are anxious to get us into this war. I see that Dr. Conant, for instance, of Harvard University, says we ought to go into the war now. Carter Glass has been saying that we ought to go to war now. Now, I don't agree with these gentlemen. I respect Carter Glass, and I respect Dr. Conant, and I respect these other gentlemen. And I wouldn't stoop to call them names, the same as some people have attempted to call Lindbergh and others names. I just don't agree with them, and I think the facts bear me out. And I don't think the people are forcing the president to go to war. I think he's trying to lead the people.
Would you say, Senator, that a Nazi victory in Europe means a long-time Nazi domination of the European political scene?
I don't think so. Quite frankly, it seems to me that anybody who's familiar with Europe and been there, that knows the racial and religious feuds that have been going on there for years, can't possibly agree that Mr. Hitler can dominate Europe over any long period of time. I don't know how he's going to get the Montenegrins and the Bulgarians and the Greeks and the Italians and the Swedes and the Norwegians and the English, and then on top of that take in the Irish and ever expect that he's going to dominate them. England couldn't dominate the Irish with guns and everything else, and certainly Hitler can't do it either. And what I think will happen more will be that you'll have more chaos and a breakup. And I think Mr. Hitler's real trouble will come when peace comes, because I look to see chaos and starvation and disease, and I'd be much more afraid that communism might sweep Europe. I don't see how you can very well prevent something of that kind happening over there.
Senator Wheeler, we're here on the campus of the University of Michigan. Is there a particular task that we students of the United States can undertake?
Yes, I think there is. I think the university students here ought to, because they're very much interested in this problem, probably much more interested than these elderly men and the professors and others who are urging war. I think that you students ought to go ahead and send petitions, get your families and get your friends to petition the president. Some say, well, he won't pay any attention to it. I can hardly believe that the president won't pay any attention to letters from the people of this country. Nor can I believe that the president of the United States, if he knows that the people of this country don't want war, it's hard for me to believe that he'll take the country into war. If that is true, and certainly it is true by every vote that's been taken by anybody, by everybody.
Senator Wheeler, in the light of the latest reports, do you think the United States will stay out of this war?
Well, I have thought so all the time, and I still think so. I just can't believe that the President of the United States is going to take this country into a fighting war. It'd be shocking to think otherwise. When 83% of the people of the country are opposed to it, to have the president deliberately do some act that would and carry on an undeclared war, and I don't believe that the Congress of the United States at the present time will declare war or vote a declaration of war. And so I just can't believe that we're going to be in this war. And I hope and I pray, for the sake of the boys of America, that we won't be, and for the sake of the mothers and fathers.
Then, Senator Wheeler, would you say that by the extension of greater freedom and social progress in this country, we can best serve the world?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Senator Wheeler, and thank you, Herbie Hoffler and William Meehl. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Senator Burton K. Wheeler, Senate non-interventionist leader, speaking from the campus of the University of Michigan in the city of Ann Arbor. Ward Qual announcing, we return you now to Detroit.